And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show here on Highland Radio. It's just approaching 5 minutes past nine on this Thursday. What is it, the 6th of November? Can't quite see. There it is, the 6th of November. We are here with you, of course, for the next 3 hours. We're outside the studio today. We're broadcasting live from on Green On Theatre here in Letterkenny. They are our hosts again, and we're here live from on Green On Theatre for Donegal Giving. It's an event that you can come along to. Registration is here from 9:30, and there's lots coming up. An incredible lineup of community and business leaders, and they're here ready to show their thoughts and insights on what giving really means to the individual, to the workplace, and to the wider community. Keynote speakers include Sylvester Clancy, Executive Director of Fintru, and Caroline Faulkner of Caroline Faulkner Consulting. And they'll speak personally and professionally about the power of giving as community givers, business leaders, and advocates for connection and purpose. So we're looking forward to learning a little bit more about the concept as this morning wears on. We've got some great guests, including coming up in the not-too-distant future, the organiser of the event, Evelyn McGlynn, who was in studio with us, wasn't she, a number of weeks ago, but is back here now as the day is upon us. But if you're curious, you're interested, obviously you can stay listening to the show. We'll keep you up to date with everything that's happening, but also you can get along here if it suits you. You can get down to On Green On Theatre, registry from 9:30, and there's food and gifts and all manner of things. Okay, let's have a look at some of the newspapers this Thursday morning. The Tyrconnell Tribune, and the light is not fantastic here, so we'll be testing how good my old eyes are. As anger grows over 9 former IFA presidents who endorsed Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys for president, members of the association locally have called on the leadership to take appropriate action to reject all political symbolism and lobbying in the future. John McDade, who is chair of the Remelton IFA branch, said the endorsement amounts to a political appeal for one candidate only, and as such, the Farm Association has serious questions to answer and explain why they became part of the Fine Gael campaign. The story too, of course, about traffic on the front of the paper. There was huge frustration on Wednesday yesterday with the tailbacks in traffic heading into Letterkenny creating havoc. For one woman, it took her nearly 2 hours to get to her work in town. That was Natalie, wasn't it, who we were talking to yesterday, or at least that was Natalie's stories as well. I didn't get to read that full article, and I thought, I'm going to be clever. I'm going to leave the house early and beat the traffic, but no. You all thought the same thing, so we had a more traffic chaos. I don't think it was chaos, but significant delays this morning. The Donegal News this morning, Monsignor Kevin Gillespie, the administrator of St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, has called on people to reflect on what the Irish national flag means to us as a nation. Speaking to the Donegal News on comments made during a funeral homily this week, the current administrator of the Diocese of Raphoe expressed his concern that the Irish tricolour can at times be used as a standard of division and not as a symbol of unity. The flag of the Republic was devised to express the unity of the various communities that makes our nation, he said, and is raised to honour the nation and its people. So I think you can read between the lines there if you needed to understand what he might be referencing there. The Derry News this morning, a Derry mother says her family is at breaking point due to the absence of respite provision for children and young people in the city. Speaking to the paper, Sarah Lee McGuinness, whose 16-year-old son Noah was born with an extremely rare genetic disorder, said the ongoing closure of Rosebud Cottage had exacerbated the situation. And that's a countrywide situation, isn't it? Let's head to the Nationals now, and as you would have heard, another outbreak of bird flu, and then the speculation, as you can imagine, begins as to what the impact this might have on Christmas. The bottom line is it very rarely does, because they can always source frozen ones if need be, or slaughter early, so the turkeys might be a little smaller than ordinary. I mean, the real loss here would be to the farmer who's invested so much in could you call them a flock? His flock of turkeys, or her turkeys. But anyway, turkeys this Christmas could be smaller after a second case of avian flu was confirmed yesterday in an Irish flock. It is still unclear what impact the outbreaks at farms in County Meath and County Carlow might have on turkey prices, but further cases could lead to a reduction in supply. But we're being assured that that's not the case, and it generally isn't. If I just get one little crown, that'll do me. I don't really want too much turkey anyway. But as I say, my thoughts are with the farmers who are going to lose out big time potentially. I hope they don't. And I think there was a case of bird flu, not in a turkey, but a case of bird flu identified in Donegal not so long ago. It does happen from time to time, but it just goes to show how sort of mobile and active that can be, not least because people can transmit it, can transmit it by flying about the place. This is not necessarily new news, but it's not old news either. It's just confirmation that the learner driver permit renewal loophole is to be closed. We've talked about this for a long time, and they are actually going to close it. Learner drivers who have had a car permit for 4 years will have to take a driving test before renewing their permit under new rules that aim to close an 11-year-old loophole in the law. So previously, you could just book a test, fail it and renew your license. No, you're going to actually have to take a, not fail it, sorry, not even turn up, but you are going to actually have to take that lesson now. Though they are giving you a bit of time to get your house in order, the new rules won't come into effect until November of 2026. So if you're affected by that point, I suppose the powers that be are saying, well, you were well warned. On to the Irish Daily Mail now, and just an interesting statistic that you may or may not be aware of. Less than 10% of immigrants who have been deported or who have been given, deportation orders this year have left the country, the Dáil's heard. So less than 10%. So effectively, they've been handed a deportation order. In other words, you're not welcome in this country, head on home. Or head on to wherever you want to go, but they don't. They don't have to, I suppose. There were 2,846 deportation orders signed by the Justice Minister up to September, but just 275 people were deported. Some 129 of that number were enforced deportations, while 106 people were removed by charter flights. So that means what's left is 40 people who were handed deportation orders were confirmed to have left Ireland of their own accord, effectively. So just to recap, 2,846 deportation orders, less than 40, or sorry, only 40, left of their own accord. The absolute majority, over 90%, are still here, and the rest were put on chartered flights. The Irish Farmers Journal reports December is the D-Day for derogation. European Environment Commissioner Jessica Roswell's visit to Ireland on Friday could be crucial to the retention of the nitrates derogation, with a decision on Ireland's application due next month. Though I'm told it might actually be closer to March, and we might not have a derogation while negotiations are ongoing, with a derogation then applied by March. But anyway, I'm open to correction on that one. But Commissioner Roswell arrives in Ireland this Friday to visit farms and see firsthand the work being done to minimise nutrient loss and help improve water quality. Now on to the red top tabloids. We'll start with the Irish Daily Star, and these are calls coming from a Donegal man, Jerry Connolly. Calls have been made to put sanitary bins in men's bathrooms to support those recovering from prostate cancer. This is something I was completely unaware of, and I'm sure many people are, unless you've been directly affected, so no harm giving this a mention. Jerry Connolly from County Donegal was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2013 and said he did not realise how difficult coping with urinary incontinence would be after surgery. The semi-retired stationery salesman said that while he was prepared for the life-saving treatment itself, he was not ready for the daily challenge that followed. Do you have a comment in relation to that? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Would you like to see that introduced in men's toilets? Is the demand there? On to the Irish Daily Mirror now, and Gardaí have not yet spoken to the alleged victim of a sexual assault in West Dublin on medical advice, a court has heard. The alleged assault of the girl took place on Garter Lane, Saggart, on Monday, October 20th, and she had been in state care earlier that day. The man charged with the sex assaults, aged 26, cannot be named because of legal restrictions. He appeared before Judge Alan Mitchell at Cloverhill Courthouse via video link, but the such was the traumatic experience of that young girl that she's been unable to be interviewed in relation to that alleged assault. And very finally here, John McAreevy has met the Taoiseach in a bid to finally get justice for murdered wife Michaela nearly 15 years ago. It's astonishing that was 15 years ago. I'm sure it feels like yesterday for him. Teacher Michaela, 27, was killed while on their honeymoon in Mauritius on January 10th, 2011. No one has been convicted of murdering GEA manager Mickey Hart's daughter, but John McAreevy says the fight for justice goes on and on. If you've got anything to say in relation to anything you heard there, or in fact, if you want to raise your own issues or trigger your own conversation or pass us on some information, it's all business as usual, 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000. You can always give us a call on 074 91 25,000, or if you prefer, email comments@highlandradio.com. You're very welcome back to the Line Till Loon show. We're broadcasting live from Ungreen on Theatre, and it's for a special event called Donegal Giving, and Evelyn McGlynn is founder of Donegal Giving and is with me now amongst other guests. Good morning to you, Evelyn. How are you getting on now?
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, we're all excited, ready to go.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. So I know I did speak to you a number of weeks ago, but just remind us of the concept of Donegal Giving.
Sure. So I suppose there's lots of giving goes on throughout life in businesses and in our private lives. And so what Donegal Giving is a platform or an initiative that celebrates the great giving that goes on in our community in terms of not-for-profits, businesses, individuals, and to encourage people, just like they track their steps when they're walking, to track the giving that they're doing and do more of it.
It's to tap into the culture that's already there, I suppose, to change the way, you see, to try and frame it. This is sort of like a framework, isn't it? And bits will fall into place, presumably, as the concept grows.
Absolutely. You know, we sometimes think when we started talking about this in the beginning, people were thinking it was about giving money. Mm. But actually, there's so much in terms of, you know, giving time, wisdom, opportunity, you know, giving kindness, all of the different things. And you're absolutely right. As a county and as a country, we're famous for our giving. So it's not that we're actually encouraging people to do it. We're encouraging people to celebrate the fact that they are doing it and do more of it.
And the fact that maybe they don't realise they are giving significantly.
They don't. Yeah. And you know, even when we talk to people about giving, they say, you know, when we talk about talents or skills or wisdom or whatever, they kind of go, sure, what could I give? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to go, well, you know, you've got amazing skills, or you could mentor someone, you could, you know, support somebody, you know, a new startup or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be even to self, giving yourself self-care, going out for a walk. It could be anything, really. It's just about giving.
Registration is open till 9:30, is that correct?
It opens at 9:30. We start at 10 o'clock sharp.
Yeah, and so what can people who... unlikely at this point to turn up, but they might, you know, we're last minute people, okay, but those who have already registered or already here, what can they look forward to today?
So what we've done is we've gathered a wide range of community. We have educators, we have the not-for-profits, we have business, and so we're covering all the kind of the different areas, you know, to just celebrate what's going on. We have exhibitors here in the hall, and talking to people about Donegal. Volunteers are here with us as well, which is a very big important part of giving in the county. So yeah, it's a full day with a panel and lunch, and
I'll come back to you in a moment. But there's been quite a buy-in on this, which is fantastic for you.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm not sure that everybody understands what it is yet. And like I said to you before, I'm not
sure.
Why are
you looking at me when you say that?
So, no, but I just think that people are curious. The name appeals to them, and I think that it definitely will evolve. We're not 100% sure exactly what it's going to be yet. So, yeah.
But as soon as you get the type of people that you're getting into the one room,
yes,
things begin to take shape, don't they?
Well, this is the thing. We have educators, we have the not-for-profits, we have individuals, we have government agencies. So, yeah, we've got a good group of people in the one space at the one time.
Amongst those that got involved was obviously on Green on Theatre. Richard Crawford is business development and marketing manager at On Green on Theatre. You know, I mean, it's a wonderful resource. This. Why did you feel it a good fit?
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Richard.
Like, firstly, when I got the call from Evelyn, I just immediately, when Evelyn gives you a call, you answer that call. And for us, immediately, there was a cultural fit. We pride ourselves in being and have been a part of the community since 26 years ago when we first opened. So whenever Evelyn started to tell me a bit about Donegal, given the concept of it, it really tied into what we are doing at the moment and what we plan to do for the future, which is a lot of the support we give to artists and up-and-coming artists is time, and it's giving them space and passing on knowledge. We have an artist in residence here, Alton Pringle, who spends a huge amount of time with up-and-coming artists, giving them knowledge, sending them in the right direction for funding applications, etc. So there was so much that Donegal Given, the concept of Donegal Given, was that tied into what we want to be culturally and what we're currently trying to be.
Yeah, so it is a no-brainer for you. It kind of aligns really quite well with not the work that's ongoing, but also where it can go into the future.
Yeah, and the only real question I had was, what's the date so I can check it's available? And that was it. And then we had committed at that point. So
it's always good when the dates align. I'll come back to you. Una Quinn is with the Clip team with ATU. Talk to us about the Clip Initiative.
Yeah,
good morning,
Greg.
As well, too, by the way. Sorry.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having us here. Yeah, so the Clip project, it's an EU-funded project, and it's civic labs for young people. And in a nutshell, it's essentially all about empowering young people and supporting them to create youth-led initiatives within the community, so raising the level of youth engagement within our local communities. We got in touch with Evelyn there over the summer, so I've only known her a few months, but that it was that immediate connection and understanding between what we're both trying to do. Something like this today, I mean, it's also an incredible opportunity to take our research outside of the university building. An awful lot of the time we're sat in front of laptops, and we're talking to our partners across Europe, but to be actually able to do something like this and see the impact within the local communities and within the local regions is just fantastic.
I think the more we do to ensure that we live in the real world, you know, in the real space, especially for young people coming through, they've got great challenges that many people, I certainly didn't have, in terms of, you know, the virtual space, the online space, interacting with people, stuff like that, right? It's not across the board, but anything that supports them and boosts confidence, I think, is really to be supported.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, particularly now, not to throw out that old phrase that we don't want to hear again, but it is this whole idea of the new normal.
Yeah.
And that's really always been the thing. Yes, we're post-COVID, but if you take any generation of young people, they're always experiencing being teenagers and being young people for the very, very first time. It is always something new for them. So it's understanding how we can make that connection with their local communities easier. You know, something I heard the last day that really pinpoints it for me is that we always say young people aren't the future, but they're not the future, they're the present. They are the here and now. So how can we enhance that and empower them and support them to take those first steps?
I think that's really so critical because, you know, I've, and many people listening to the show or sitting here for that matter, have seen an evolution. Okay, so if I think of sort of AI now, I think of it in a different way, or as to someone who's born into that, right? And yet I'm trying to maybe dictate to them what's right. Does that make sense? Right, so I think the more we sort of consult with young people and they lead stuff out, I think, and we respect their views, the better things will be.
Yes, absolutely. You know, they have very new skills, very new talents to what we would have experienced before. Even as you're saying, their very understanding of what community is very different to our understanding. But it doesn't mean that it's a different community. It's very much the same. It's just how we interact with community in different ways and how we can really, yeah, support them in doing that.
And I think, Evelyn, too, we shouldn't forget that, you know, it's a little bit like trying to get young people involved in something. Say if they're in transition year, right, you've got your best chance of them getting involved if it's during school time, right? So there has to be a little bit transactional, but also too, this whole concept as well, you know, there's a huge positive network element to it, so you're, you know, benefiting others but also, you know, benefiting yourself.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, in terms of, you know, when you're talking about young people and the TYs as well, we've ran the first pilot program already with TY students, and they would just blow you away with the knowledge that they have and gather quickly on what giving is. But in terms of networking, or, you know, sometimes depending on age, people, the word network, it's like connecting. Like already today, we're going to have, an, you know, fantastic to work with CLYP and ATU and all of these different projects. We're all getting to live experience and give our lived experience as well. So, you know, it's a win-win for everybody.
So after this launch today, how does it progress, or how do things progress in your mind?
Yeah, so we have an amazing website which has been put together by Crintus & Co. Again, everything was gifted, pretty much. So that was been fantastic, and the quality of that website is just amazing. So within that, there's a number of things people can do. It's about celebrating the stories. So businesses, individuals, nonprofits are able to leave their story, and we can fill our website with lots of positive giving stories. We have a wall, a Donegal Friends of Donegal Giving, which again, individuals who want to be seen or are committed to giving and supporting the giving cause can go on there as well. But also, we'd like to think that going forward, there will be opportunities for people to share their time, wisdom, knowledge, opportunity, more events like this, more things that are yet to be unimagined, but this is a great starting point.
Yes, indeed. Una, what have you seen from Clip already, if you know what I mean?
The biggest thing that we've seen from what we've been doing, it's we've talked to some absolutely phenomenal people within the Donegal region, and I should also say it's ourselves today to you and our partners, Donegal Youth Service, up the road.
Yeah.
So we've quite a big team here in the county. What we've seen is that it's not that young people don't lack ambition, and they absolutely do not lack potential. It's just this idea of confidence.
Mm.
You know, and that's a very difficult thing to kind of pinpoint down and say, well, how do you actually help them to develop their confidence, you know, and taking that next step? But really, yeah, that's the message that has come from this project. It's they have all the learning, they have the education, they have access to information, but it's just supporting them and being able to take that first step, building that confidence.
And for some, I think, from what I've observed, for some young people, that comes naturally, you know, that those leadership qualities, that confidence. But everyone deserves equal opportunity, and if we need to support people so they can achieve the best of what they wish to achieve, well then I think it's brilliant the work that you're doing. Do you want to go ahead, Una.
I suppose that's something else as well, is that each young person very much has to be dealt with on an individual basis.
Yeah, of course.
You know, an awful lot of the time you see even sports teams and school groups and everything, and they're dealt with as one cohort, as one group, and that has its benefits. But really what we're trying to do with everything we're developing in within CLIP is to see how we can take the young person down to their own individual skills and interests and what they want to do, and help them step forward
in
that way.
Exactly. Yeah. They're all individuals. There's not a, we can't put people, everyone in the same box. Everyone's themselves. Thanks, Una. It must be nice, Evelyn, to sort of hear the buzz, watch things develop this morning, you know, to go from concept to reality.
I know, this is the thing. And, you know, that's 8 years ago I secured the domain. So we've been sitting on this for 8 years. And, you know, it was when the kind of the spark was lit when I met Una and Paul. And so the fact that we're doing it today is very exciting, but of course it's very nerve-wracking too.
Yeah.
But no, it's great.
I think once you get people here, you're over the hurdles, if you know what I mean. It's once you've got people here, you've got some great guests.
There has been the most amazing giving. It's been a proof of concept before we even start. You know, that so many people have got behind it, and so many people involved. So it's just been amazing.
Okay, Richard, and Greenon continues to go from strength to strength. And I think as well, too, when you're sort of giving back, or recognizing the fact that it's a two-way relationship between the community and the venture, it's you're on the right path, I think.
Yeah, and like I think like we've had lots of conversations here in the theatre about like how we want to encourage people to use the space, because sometimes it's a bit daunting if you haven't been here before. It's like, is it for me? Can I just come in here? And we want to encourage people, like lots of people come here to chill out downstairs, have a coffee and have a Zoom meeting. Other people use it for a community breakout space. So we have local groups that use some of the facilities that we have here. So we just want to encourage more people to know that this building's for everyone. It was built by the community for the community all those years ago, and we just want to reignite that message. And I suppose having Donegal Given launch here today will hopefully, as Evelyn said, ignite that spark again. So we're absolutely delighted to be a part of it, because it really, as I said earlier, it just ties in perfectly with who we are at Ingrainon.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks very much, Richard, and Una, and Una Quinn, Richard Crawford, and Evelyn McGlynn. We'll talk to you later, of course. Thank you very much for now. Right, just a random one here. Would anyone who has cars at the car park in Maharoti, the painters at the pier in Maharoti, have asked for people to move their cars away from the wall in the car park? They've finished painting the building and need to start washing the wall now. So if you know anyone parked along the wall, they might send the keys out on a boat today so the men can move the cars. So you can imagine what's happening there. A caller says, Greg, should be worried, should we be concerned about this bird flu? Not unless you're a turkey farmer. I wouldn't be unduly concerned. I mean, there's a real no, actually, I'm even not going to go down that path. No, you shouldn't. It's a bird flu, and unless you have poultry or something along those lines, don't. There's enough to be worried about. Flashing LED signs being put up this morning stating road work starting between the Polestar and Creamery roundabout on the 10th of November. Are they mad starting road works in the mouth of Christmas? Caroline thinks the road works are great. She was telling me off air yesterday, so you can contact Caroline on 086 60 25000. A caller says, I was in Letterkenny last night at 8 p.m. The traffic was like 8 a.m. in the morning. Is it time to accept that we have a huge increase in traffic and it's got nothing to do with roadworks? It's simply volume, and the only solution is more exit roads. Okay, keep your texts coming into us on 086 60 25000. We've got some more fantastic guests for you to meet, but first let's take a quick break. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Just to remind you of the contact numbers, 086 60 25000, if you want to WhatsApp or text, or want to, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. We're broadcasting live from the Donegal Giving event. It's at Alan Greenon Theatre in Letterkenny, and my next two guests are with me now. Firstly, Caroline Faulkner, a business consultant. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning,
it's great to have you with us. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping great, thanks for having us.
Okay, and we're also joined by Sylvester Clancy, Executive Director and Site Lead for Fintru Ireland. Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good to be here.
Fintru is a huge organisation. For those who may not be aware, talk to us about it.
Fintru?
Fintru, yeah.
Sure, no problem. So Fintru is a reg tech company. So we work in the regulation business, technology, providing people and technology solutions together. Fintru was founded back in 2013 by Darren McCarthy, who's originally from County Cork. And I guess from the early days of inception, it was always about going to regions where we can make the most impact. So we have offices based in Belfast, not London. We have an office in Letterkenny, office in Derry. And we have an office in Porto, again, not Lisbon. So very much a community-focused type organisation. And we always look to go to places where we can make the most impact.
Yeah, and the concept, or this concept of Donegal Giving, why do you feel that you, your company, is a good match with that?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question, Greg. And look, for me, it's around the companies that will be successful. They're companies that really integrate their values with the values of the employees in the regions that they work and live in. In Fintru, we have four very simple values: people, process, partnership, and passion. And we have a lot of engagements locally with the Donegal Hospice, which is a local charity that was selected by the employees. And we also do a lot of work with A2U as well in terms of early careers and also helping people with employability skills, etc.
And I suppose, you know, when we talk about the concept of giving, and we were talking about this a little earlier on with Evelyn, it can seem that it's just financial or what have you. But you've benefited, haven't you, you know, with your own personal growth by the generosity of others, the connection with others, you know, the generosity of their time I'm talking of here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great having Caroline here today. And back in 2000, I joined Primerica as a graduate. I think it was the first graduate in Primerica. Caroline actually hired me and took faith in me. And you know, through the years, as Caroline grew, she definitely brought people with her. And even to this day, I would still call on Caroline for advice. And she's very kind when giving of her time. So I think we all have role models, be it in, you know, outside of work, in work, or in our families, that really help us improve. And then it's really about paying it forward and sort of, you know, how can we now collectively do that for the region to help grow the next generation?
And that's important to you too, isn't it, Caroline? I mean, I presume you could be lounging somewhere really quite warm this morning rather than continue to do what you do, and that's, you know, give of your time and your experience, etc.
Yes, but it's very important to me, Greg. You know, I was very lucky to be a businesswoman in Donegal for most of my career. In fact, it was only in the last 7 years that I moved to America to the parent company of Primerica. And on my return, it was important to me then to still keep connected to the Donegal community and the business community, and, you know, re-establishing connections with the likes of Sylvester and others. Because I think it is important to pay it forward, and it's important to be able to share your experiences and just keep in touch with what's going on locally and in the community.
So talk to us a little bit about your talk today, the points that you'll be emphasising, things that are important to you, Caroline.
Well, really what at the heart of it is, what I'm really emphasising is that really at the heart of Donegal Giving is connection. And it's very much those small moments. It's not even those grand gestures. And I'm going to give a couple of examples about how they've shaped, how people can really be encouraged in their confidence. And, you know, think about new graduates coming into companies for the first time. And even though companies put a lot of effort into onboarding and making sure that people understand how the company works, there's a lot of context that's usually missing there. And then the more mature staff, they're busy with their own jobs, but it's those moments of noticing, those moments of making space for people's questions. We've all been at tables where we've thought, oh my goodness, I can't ask that question, it's going to seem like a silly question. And if you don't get to do that, or if you're knocked down for that, you don't get to learn and you don't get to grow, and therefore you don't get to contribute to the company in meaningful ways, in the ways in which universities and colleges shape you to be able to prepare your mind for that. But then when you get into the companies themselves, it's there that it really shapes those behaviours and experiences.
I mean, obviously this day is and will be a huge success just purely because of the likes of yourself and Sylvester speaking and the other organisations and groups that are here. But it's sort of open-ended as to where this goes. Mm. What would you like to see come from Donegal Giving?
Well, first of all, huge kudos to Evelyn. I mean, Evelyn was the spark who built this momentum. And today is a launch day. When we talked about this a few months ago, it was like, what can we do? How do we bring life to this thing? How do we even help people understand what it is? And so today's launch is to really start to outline sort of the elements of Donegal Giving, bringing the community together, and there's people that are represented here across businesses and education and, you know, all the various social enterprises. And really it's a dialogue, and it's an interesting way to be able to just poke at it a little bit. We didn't want to come with something fully served up because, quite frankly, it's not. It's really nascent at the moment. We want to bring it live. And then we want to see, well, where will this bring us? And then how do we put more sort of rigor around it? But it really is a seedling right now, but it's a very exciting seedling.
Yeah, and I'm seeing, you know, interesting people in the room, business leaders, charities, educators, young people. Mm. Yeah, why shouldn't we all be sort of bouncing off each other?
We should be, but I think it is, don't we often operate in silos, and
yeah,
we're often
for sure.
busy, and we're all various different goals driven where I need to get this and therefore I can't pause to look over my shoulder to help why. And I think that if we could really set Donegal as a county apart. Can you imagine the fabric of what this could create? And it's really about the noticing, the attention, and then just paying it forward, that those experiences, that context, that help. Because do you know, one of the things that I, in the research for this, you know, only 12% of employees say that the onboarding program at their company is really meaningful and helpful to them.
What program?
Onboarding. So when you're coming into a new company,
onboarding, right, yeah.
You've got all the education that you might have had from previous jobs or university, but you come in, you've got to learn a new company. Mm. That's the onboarding program. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, it isn't as nuanced as what it needs to be. And therefore, newbies really do rely on the goodness of others that are going to take those quiet moments with them and say, what are you working on? How can I help? Who can I introduce you to?
Can I talk a little bit more about the benefit, Sylvester? And Sylvester Clancy is Executive Director and Site Lead for Fintrue Ireland. The connection with a chosen charity and the fact that staff are leading out in that, the staff volunteer from time to time. Is that about people feeling grounded or people feeling connected to the community or people being able to utilise their workspace to help others or what? You know, I can just to get us understand that a little bit, because other business perhaps could take a leaf out of that book.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, as I mentioned earlier, we're here to, I suppose, not only change the lives of our employees, but also the regions that they live and work in. We have a very strong charity ethic within Fintry across all our sites. And what we did when we set up in Letterkenny, we actually asked employees what charity would they like to work with. So we decided to go all in with one charity. So Donegal Hospice was our dedicated charity partner that was selected by the staff. We then engaged the staff and said, look, how can we help them? Obviously, the hospice doesn't have enough money, so we said about raising funds. But also then we started to work with Isabel in the hospice, and she needed coverage in the reception on certain evenings. So we now have a rota where the staff are actually volunteering their own time to do it. And again, this is all employee-led. It's nearly like employees now expect this from companies.
Yeah.
And I think it's about creating that sort of shared connection between the values. And again, you know, even with ATU, so we have a strong partnership with ATU. We sponsor all their sports teams. And again, that's across all genders and all sports. And that's quite deliberate for us because inclusivity is very important to us. But again, what we've started doing this year is really going down to ATU and starting to do employability sessions with them to help students, and be that with Fintry or with another company, help them with their first interview, their first application. And look, we're getting the results from that. In the last 2 years, we've hired 40 early careers. Over nearly 60% have come from ATU, which is fantastic. And the remainder have really come from Queen's, UU and Galway. And it's students that basically have gone away to study but want to come home and have a career. So there's a real shared win there for us. I mean, if we want to attract the top talent, we need to understand what the talent want, and then how you bring that and map it into the community and make an impact beyond oneself is really important.
Yeah, it's clever too, isn't it, Caroline, to sort of, it is clear there is, not for everyone, but when someone is qualified or when they've left university or whatever they've left and then entering the workplace, no matter how good their qualifications are, we're seeing more and more a bridge, I think, that needs to be, to be put there, or a gap that needs to be bridged is what I'm saying too. I think it's really clever what Fintry are doing there.
Oh, the bridge is very important, and that bridge really is that connection between the potential of that student and the performance that they can actually contribute into a company. And that's the bridge to be built, and I think connection is that bridge.
And this is what about giving is, right? Because, you know, whilst your company, Sylvester, is supporting ATU, right, it's beneficial to you as well to have that. It's I think the best relationships are mutually beneficial.
Yeah, no, definitely. As I mentioned, the 40 students that we've hired in the last 2 years, we couldn't have achieved that without ATU. And, it's... For me, I suppose, having had the privilege of working and studying and living my whole life in Donegal, it's really around creating those opportunities for others. So for myself personally, it's really important, but as a company, 100%, you know, it's really important. So.
Brilliant. Look forward to, I'm sure people are looking forward to your contributions today. And it's really interesting, the buy-in that has been to this, Caroline, you know, that really influential people are seeing the benefits of it.
Absolutely. But, you know, at its heart, I think we all love Donegal. We're from the region. We want the best for people who live here, who work here, who study here, and who provide the support services here. We really want the best of that. And to build that kind of connective tissue, Greg, is just, it's a passion of mine, and I know it is of Sylvester too and many other people that are here.
Okay, Caroline Faulkner, business consultant, Sylvester Clancy, executive director and site lead for Fintry Ireland. I'd love to be $5,000 behind you, Sylvester. Okay, listen, both of you, thank you very, very much indeed. And we are live here as part of Donegal Giving. It's at On Green On Theatre in Letterkenny. They're about to get underway at 10 o'clock. And as you might have noticed from the ambiance, the background noise, there's a lot of people here. It's busy. We're seeing people of all different sort of ages and backgrounds and of levels of expertise. And I think really what's actually happening today is this Donegal giving concept is actually beginning to take shape, because as you would have heard earlier on, it's kind of like a framework, but people are seeing the benefits in it for themselves. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with the weather forecast. Stay right where you are. I'm joined by members of Sisters. Mahreen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us. We also have Victoria. Good morning, Victoria.
Hello.
And also Terry. Hey.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
It's lovely to be with you. Terry, can I start with you? Talk to me about Sisters. It's a volunteer group, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the Sisters group network is a volunteer group. It's called Sisters Doing It For Themselves. It's just a group of women coming together to empower each other, build resilience, believe in the self-worth, and we've been involved in quite a lot of community supporting each other, supporting the women around our communities to build resilience, strength, and to believe in their self-worth.
And Mahreen, what's your role within Sisters, or how do you see the benefit of it? Your role in Sisters and the benefit of it? No, it's okay, I'll come back to you. It has become quite noisy here. I'll ask the same question of you, Victoria. Talk to me more about your role within Sisters.
Thank you so much. Each of us have different roles, such as encouraging the women to be more open, especially when it comes to health care. Some women can be so timid that they don't know how to access healthcare. So Sisters Doing It For Themselves has been able to encourage these women to access healthcare, like the Donegal Women's Center providing counseling and also healthcare services for free, and also education. Right now, on the 10th of this month, we'll be having a free English and yoga class in Convoy. This is going to run for 6 weeks. And those women are so happy to be involved. We also have like the liquid therapy, which one of my role is also to organize those women to come for the liquid therapy, which we had twice. One in October, this past October 20th, and also sometime last September. So it's been very encouraging for all of us to participate in different roles. Thank you.
No, it's okay. Mahreen, can you hear me now?
No, I can hear you clearly. I'm so sorry for that.
It's not you. I'll tell you, it's just got increasingly noisy here just as you sat down, because we're getting close to things kicking off here. It can be hard, can't it, to navigate, you know, government services, health, counselling, support. You know, it can feel very lonely and isolating. I think that's why a group like Sisters is so valuable.
Yeah, Sisters Are Doing For Themselves, thanks for the life that they given us the chance to make that group, and after that we made this group. We got a lot of information, and we try to make hard to other people that they can get all the information which they need more in this country. And as about the government level, yes, government supporting us a lot, because without the government support we can't do nothing. So thanks for the government, and thanks for the lives, especially that they give us the chance to make that group. And to be very honest, they are working very hard for the people who are new here, and who, especially for the asylum seekers, because they are struggling with the medical, they are struggling with the job, they are struggling with the English, especially the language barrier. The language barrier is the most important thing in here, because the different people came from different countries, and the English is not their first language, so this is very hard for them. And as my sister told you, Victoria, that we are trying to giving the people the education about, especially for the language classes. These language classes help them for interact with the peoples and in this society as well.
Yeah, because, you know, whenever you move to a different country, there's lots of things that you have to sort of learn as you go. Tari, a note here, intercultural understanding. How important is that?
Again, please.
Yes, I'm saying, how important are things like, you know, language barriers or intercultural understanding?
Oh, so that's the bridge we're trying to build with the Sisters Doing It For Themselves. So we try to empower every woman that is open to dare to dream. You know, building bridges. Like recently, we just had a family event. It was more like an intercultural activity where bringing all women from different communities, different cultures, and all of that, we're able to come together, you know, to relate together. We did it through food, through different cuisines and all of that, and it was a wonderful moment, you know. And so that's the Sisters doing it for themselves, or trying to make sure that support women irrespective of the language barrier, irrespective of the culture, while putting things in place to make sure that we understand ourselves. And so far, I think a lot of women that have felt isolated, they are coming, opening up, and it's just basically to ensure that women are doing things in the spaces they find themselves in.
Okay, it's been lovely speaking to all three of you. Thanks for overcoming the noise. I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much, yeah.
Thank you, okay. That was Maureen, Victoria and Terry, and they are part of the Sisters Collective. We'll share some information on that organisation on our social medias a little later on. Thank you for bearing with us. I'm not sure how much of the ambiance, if I could call it that, is coming through, but we are in a very busy part of Ongreanon Theatre today. We're broadcasting live from Donegal Giving. It's a new concept, a new framework to get people together where it can be mutually beneficial, of course, or just to help others. Basically on the phone lines too, thank you for your texts. Keep them coming into us, 086 60 25,000, or if you want to give us a call too, it's 074 91 25,000. But we're going to take a break for the news and obituary notices and rejoin us where it might be a little bit quieter after that.